Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King. Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Stop the Mimic.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
I'm dizzy.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Why are you dizzy?
Your audio is going in and out of my ears a little bit, like it was. I don't know if it's because of something I screwed around with.
I think it might be down there.
Might be.
It shouldn't, though.
All right, I'm just checking. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for a Thursday. Glad to have you here. We're going to cover stuff that we haven't really gotten a chance to all week long. And one of the biggest things, and I really am very, very disappointed that I moved right past it after Rob mentioned it the other day, that we have done 3,500 podcasts.
And, you know, it's actually higher than that because that doesn't count bonus shows. That doesn't count extra content. We're just talking 3,500 real episodes without a break since 2009, which is crazy.
And it is to think that that number, since we've done this, I mean, it is officially a second career for me. And I'm excited. I'm excited that we've done that and that it keeps on chugging and that we've got so many in the can. That's why, we'll keep doing them, but it doesn't feel like 3,000 shows. No. Don't they do a big deal on TV when a show hits like 500 or something like that? 500 episodes?
Well, 100 is a big one for TV because that means syndication. 100 is a big one for TV? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just wanted to say we wouldn't be able to do that without the small and passionate following that we have. And when we say small, I mean relatively small. When we're talking about comparing us to some of the behemoths right in this industry, like it always has been, we've got an absolutely passionate, loyal following of listeners that have supported us, from day one with incredible generosity, like our friend Cappy Pfeiffer, who, you know, was a secret agent helping the show out when we didn't even know where it was coming from, and then continued to support us before she stopped listening. And she really was instrumental in helping us along at that particular point. And we're grateful for it. And some of us still keep in touch with Cappy. I haven't heard from Cappy in a number of years. She still supports a school in Rob's backyard, and Rob is grateful for that each and every day. Mm-hmm. And I hope she's well. I hope she is doing well. When was the last time you spoke with her?
Oh, it has to be a year.
Oh, you haven't spoken to her regularly.
No, I have not spoken to her in a long time.
You know, so she was there at the beginning. And then we have people that have been incredibly supportive and generous when it comes to a guy like Tripp Affleck, who, for me, really had my back on social media in the early days of social media, where he would be helping Carla out when, you know, people, there's an awful lot of effery out there when,
too much, to be honest.
People are talking about being online. P1s that you've heard the names again and again and again. Thank you, Kevin, for the donation. We appreciate that.
Wouldn't that be better as $35, Kevin, for $3,500?
Is it Rob or is it me? Rob sounds like that. And I don't know if it's something I did.
It's something on you with your headphones, I think.
God damn it. It's the first time this week that this thing has... I can't see. I'm blind.
Is it plugged in all the way?
Dirk Vastrick. Yes, I've got everything plugged in all the way.
Well, I was just going to say about Tripp, he's my number one fan.
Well, that's because you're a fascist, and I understand that. He doesn't like people like you. So, I mean, that's, you know, valid. I'll talk about that today, too, because I want to talk about the same old playbook. The same old playbook. We've got other stuff to cover before that. But I just want to say, all of you, Dirk Vastrick.
Doug Carlson.
Doug Carlson is another one. And the people that come out to our events year after year after year, the people that supported us on the cruise, there's the compared to the listening audience, it's a small number of people, but they are always there for us.
They are.
And we wouldn't be able to do this stuff. That cruise, I don't care about being honest about that cruise. That cruise would not have happened without the loyal 20 people that support everything we do. And even when we opened up again the cabins for the cruise, we urge all of you to come and hobnob, because if you happen to be somebody that's on the fence and you listen to the show, you like the show, you really like the show, and you're sitting over on the sidelines, if you come out to an event and you never have, and by the way, statistics show that the people that are active like that and participate like that are fewer in number than the majority of people that listen to the show or consume the product. If you come to an event like that, you will be blown away by the welcoming, open arms of people who share their love of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go out to do a cruise, when we go out to do a live show, when we go out to do a meet and greet or an appearance up at Jimmy's, we know that we are the sideshow. The real joy of that is the people that get together and see each other. And there is nothing that is more satisfying to me is that because of this show, people gather and have little conventions, a little conclave once a year.
Exactly.
I think it's
as you planned it, Mike. And we're looking for in 2026 for everyone to get together and buy a ticket, but we're not going to be there. Just send us the money and you guys can hang out and have a good time.
Man, I am I'm trying so hard to do a show right now because I am in the studio today. What was I doing? I was putting ink in my Epson. And I will tell you, I walked out the door and I am inundated with what almost smelled like a perfume smell. And I came out and I said, Michael, what did you, is that cologne? He said, Dad, there was a bug in here and I sprayed bug repellent all over my room. Repellent is at its core
He's gonna poison you.
A scent to drive away insects.
Was it Cutter in the green can? What was it?
I have no idea what it was. But it is still, it stinks in here. It stinks. Mama's not going to be happy when she gets home.
I always wondered if you sprayed insect repellent on an insect, if it would drive them crazy. Because they wouldn't be able to get away from themselves.
Like when a dog runs out in the yard and it's just rolling around, like trying to get something off of them.
That's probably what it is. We had a great day today out on the golf course, and he's taking to the game that I love, which is a lot of fun. And I'm out there with him, and he's such a great, perfect little gentleman. When the members of the club come up to him and shake his little hand, and you know, very nice to meet you too, sir. Thank you. Have a good day. And I realize if you only knew the way he's going to talk in the car on the way back home. Yeah, with his little potty mouth.
He's a politician.
He is a politician. He does that. Right before we started taping the show today, we lost a pop culture icon, Hulk Hogan, passed away apparently of a heart attack this morning in Florida.
Can I roll a clip? This gives you an idea. This is just a little bit from ESPN. but it gives you an idea of what it was like when Hulk was at the helm of wrestling.
A breaking news today, professional wrestling legend Hulk Hogan died of cardiac arrest in Florida, age of 71. The Mustache Hogan, most popular wrestler in the 80s for the World Wrestling Federation, headline WrestleMania.
Can you pause it for a second?
Yeah, of course.
Who the F is this anchor?
Is this ESPN? Someone at ESPN that they did not expect to have a major.
ESPN that they've gotten to this kind of guy?
Yes.
They did not expect to have a major breaking story today,
Jesus.
I'm guessing. Just
wow,
a guess.
Sounds like, do they bring a producer in to do it?
No, it's SportsCenter. It's just not a very good one.
Wrestling Federation. Headline WrestleMania for years. Also had
That's
a long
the same way
movie
Mike's
career starting
the
with his role as Thunderlips in 1983's Rocky III.
That's also how I'm going to grow my mustache.
That's
as
also a guy who did not grow up watching Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, it's just
to speak that dry, you don't know the man.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of when wrestling was put on the map and became just this thing that still exists today. He's
it ruled
number
my
one.
House for many years, Mike. Wrestling did. And yeah, he was at the forefront of it. But no one seems to be mentioning the fact that Bubba the Love Sponge paid him to make love to his wife.
Was that the story that Todd Clem?
Yes, I believe that is the deal. Yeah.
And so, just very, very briefly, he said he was a friend, right?
Oh, yeah.
He came on Bubba's show, and then they became buddies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Bubba paid
him to bang his wife, bang Bubba's wife.
Right. Why?
So he could watch, Bubba, I guess.
But where it became a problem was Bubba recorded it.
So it became a problem long before that.
Can you look it up so we get it right? Because when Rob says, I guess, it worries me because we don't have the details of what went down. And I know it was a big scandal. Mm. And if we're going to recount that, especially if we're going to talk about another broadcaster, I want to make sure that we're not saying, I guess, and I think, and getting the story right so we don't. I don't, you know, not that I have any love lost with that guy, right. But I want to make sure we get it right. Because it just, on the surface, hey, I'll pay you to make love to my wife and then I'll record it. Was Bubba the Love Sponge making an attempt to get Hulk in trouble? Was this a fetish that he had? I don't know any of the answers to this, so I want to find out what it was.
I see it was there was a lawsuit where Hulk Hogan sued Gawker Media for the sex tape with him and Bubba's wife. I'm trying to find Bubba's involvement.
Was it a divorce also where that came up because he had evidence of her adultery? I don't remember any of it. I really don't remember the details. I know there was a sexual thing between Bubba the Love Sponge, his wife, and Hulk Hogan. I just don't know any of the details.
I don't remember. Mike, I don't remember the motivation behind it.
Hogan said that Bubba gave his blessing and encouraged for Hogan to be with his then wife.
So they're partying and they're like, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, go. And then Bubba Hogan recorded it.
Right. Hogan said he was a low part of his life and Bubba
said, go
ahead.
Because it got him divorced, right? Because it got Hulk Hogan divorced.
I think he was already divorced.
He was already divorced.
And he was just down. And he said, all right, we'll go spend some time with my wife.
Okay. All right, so if that's how it went,
And I guess the argument was who leaked the tape, whether Hogan did it himself or Bubba did it.
Okay, all right. Is Bubba, is he still a thing on radio? Is he still doing, or is he a podcaster too?
He's a podcaster.
He's a podcaster now. I'd love to, I don't know. I get nervous about getting radio guys.
We had the pleasure of talking with him once on our sales call.
And right now
it's after I had trashed him.
Yeah, it was.
What did I say? I forgot what the trash was the trash talk that I did. Do you remember what it was, Rob?
No, I don't. I think what's to be said good about him? So it could be any number of things.
No.
Okay. But I mean, I can't think of anything.
Captain Detail. I don't remember. There was some particular thing, and you say what's to be said good about him. You don't. That's not. Generic when you don't know the subject matter, and a rather irresponsible thing to say when you don't know.
I'm no fan.
I mean, you were here. You remember?
Well, you said it,
and then he got on. It was right after I had done some bit. I don't remember what it was because I've done 3,500 shows, and I don't have any memory of what exactly it was that I did.
It wasn't. It didn't go well.
Yeah,
because I am on Twitter and searched up Bubba the Love Sponge. I found his Twitter, the Bubba Army. Clicked on it. It said the Bubba Army has blocked you, and I'm logged into the Mike O'Mara show.
That was a long time ago, too. Okay, that was a very very long time ago. I was, I think, mimicking a broadcast I heard. I think that's what was happening. I remember a long time ago, Rob, before you became addled, you used to be the show historian, and you would help me with my memory. You don't have any memory of it whatsoever either, so that makes two of us.
Right.
Josh, get to the want ads.
Okay,
find
Mike.
Someone young that I can use for memory, because I have none myself, and Rob doesn't remember anything anymore.
I remember some stuff.
Yeah, very little.
You rely on AI. Just put everything in there. Just
put everything in there.
AI. Remember you.
So that, unfortunately for Hulk Hogan, was a big story towards the end of his life where that surfaced. And he was still doing it right up until the end as far as wrestling events, wasn't he? I don't know. I'm not a wrestling fan, so I don't know.
He was just working on like a little comeback where he was back in there and doing some stuff. He got booed when he came out on in the ring maybe 2 months ago.
Were they painting him as a heel, or did they genuinely just boo him?
I think it was a lot of kids that don't know what Hulk Hogan built.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that we're not talking about the first wrestler who has bought the farm relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you watch the Mickey Rourke movie, The Wrestler, you see how incredibly banged up these guys get. Not only from, the ring action where they are doing a choreography of violence that can really screw them up with their knees and their backs and everything else, but also to get all buff like that, they all did steroids.
Of course.
And it was terrible for that, you know. And somebody says, Bruins Rule says he was booed when he was a big Trump supporter. Yeah, I know he did something with Trump that was,
But
I thought
wrestling would fall in line with the Trumpers, like MMA.
I would think so.
Trump is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because he did wrestle.
Not as a competitor, but like as an associate.
That's a good segue because I want to talk about two things. As I said, one thing that might really piss people off that I will get to in a second. On my team, and now regarding the other team. It is just, I really wonder sometimes when I read story after story after story after story about the Justice Department or the House, the Intelligence Department coming up with evidence of an investigation that said that Barack Obama manufactured evidence of Russian election interference. Folks, please, 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 please do not be distracted by the same old playbook. It's practically a rule book in the Trump administration that, the Epstein thing has grown hair and it won't go away. What can we do? Let's talk about the black guy. Let's talk about the black president who Donald Trump, in his racist way, is obsessed with. And it's on and on. It's like, oh, that'll get him. And now,
I'll tell you, as a supporter, even if all the evidence points that way, you blew any chance with how you handled Epstein.
Yeah, I mean, he did, and they're mad at him, like people like you that are mad at him. I just think at this point, even to supporters, the playbook does seem kind of old and obvious, doesn't it? That we're going to create, first of all, when you're talking about election interference that was manufactured to say that the Russians interfered with the election, you talk about water over the bridge, where
under.
Donald Trump won the election. So that's that. And nobody, you know, and nobody pursued it at that particular point on the Russian side. So that's that. But now to come back and say it was manufactured, it's treason, which is a word. Oh, God. I mean, talking about firing squad. When I hear treason, I think firing squads.
I do
and
too.
What better way to get your absolute core bubbling down, way down in the magma, your smoldering racist base, to get really excited, then talk about the black president that pissed you all off, that started this whole thing, which I believe with my heart of hearts. I really do. So it just, to me, is tired.
Yeah.
It's an old playbook. By the way, I also am not going to sit here and say I know exactly what Donald Trump was all about because he was a friend of Jeffrey Epstein. Well, we know he was a friend of Jeffrey Epstein's. That doesn't prove anything. If he's in there and they're covering it up because it says, you know, there was a 13-year-old girl on the island, if there's evidence, then throw the book at him. But I don't see it yet, and I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to do that without any evidence. But when it comes to distracting from, and by the way, they're getting information now that they've subpoenaed to see what's happening. I think my wish, my fervent hope is that all of it comes out. That anybody that was associated with this perv and his island and sex with underage girls like Prince Andrew and all those other filthy, nasty guys that engaged in this crap when they didn't have any reason to. Any reason to. These are the richest, most powerful people in the world. If they want to get a piece of ass on the side, they can do it with anybody they want. They can go into a nightclub and do it every night of the week. But they have to get together with this guy who I hope is rotting in hell right now, that trafficked in underage girls and young girls, where he'd go out in Palm Beach and go over the bridge from Palm Beach to West Palm and mine for gold, getting these poor, clueless women to go over there. I want them all named. I want them all out there for the world to see.
Do you think there's a chance we'll see it all?
I don't know. I really don't know. Do we know? You know, when you look at the Justice Department now, you look at, and when I say not the Justice Department, you look at the justice system, and you know how Carl and I obsess on Dateline.
Yeah.
It is stunning how much this stuff can really just fester and then be twisted by the Justice Department and the justice system, really, in our country. It's just, it's
you
terrible.
You said a very key word in there, Mike, and I just can say to people, watch out for distractions. This has been going on forever, and as this, just think about in the last week, we've got not only what Mike discussed with the bubbling up of the Epstein files. Remember, now he's calling on the NFL to change names. Now he's taking credit for Coca-Cola changing its formula.
And where's the common thread with the names? Where's the common thread? When you got Barack Obama on one side, then the changing of the names.
Barack thing's nothing about racism. It's about guys that went after him for 10 years, and he feels now after being arrested.
I disagree with you, Josh. I disagree with you. You know what it was? He was a racist back in the day when he was putting a New York Times a Daily News ad front page accusing those black kids of murder and wanted them all to be executed. And it was a racism thing when he denied housing to people in New York City in his father's apartment buildings when they systematically deprived people of color of getting condos and apartments. This goes back to that. Let me just finish. The reason Donald Trump is obsessed with Barack Obama, in my opinion, is because Barack Obama's black. I believe that with all my heart.
But what if it's because he believes he's the cornerstone of all this stuff against them and the 34 felonies and all that?
I'm not going to deny that the whole cocktail influences Donald Trump, but I think at the very core of Trumpism is this desire to right the wrong that was wokeness and Barack Obama, the black president. I can't believe there were people that they came out of the woodwork because they were all pissed off. I heard them,
Mike.
I heard them. I played golf with all of them.
To your point, it's about dividing people so you can have an enemy. Because if you have an enemy, you can really, really sell your mindset.
Right.
And if you unite as a country, that's no way to get elected. The way to get elected is to divide and marry yourself to the side that's going to support you and totally badmouth the other side. And this
we can agree to
on.
Disagree on the this is an opinion of mine. I believe that he minds this topic of Barack Obama for all it's worth because people love to the excitement that I heard a guy. They think they're going to put Barack Obama in jail. You know, with the big, with the starry eyes, you know, the black man that attained the presidency of the United States. He's going to go to jail now and prove that I was right all along. It just, I'm sorry, I hate that crap.
But I don't, again, I don't think it's on race. I think it's that he is considered the head of your party, of the Democrat, the most powerful Democrat over there. And I think for the Trump supporter who saw stuff as corruption throughout the thing and saw that, especially the 34 felonies, made a lot of Trump people think, well, that none of that's right.
Well, if you look at the fact that they targeted Biden and they targeted Hillary and they targeted Obama, you could have a point about that. But I really do. Mm-hmm. This is just my I'm talking about if you scrape away all the layers of the onion, you peel it back. That I think you get that down there, and we'll have to agree to disagree that about the racism thing. But let me pivot if I can, because I was watching Fox. A clip from Fox.
Okay.
And the Fox people were talking about Stephen Colbert. And they had a guy on that was talking about Stephen Colbert. And halfway through what he was saying when Stephen Colbert came in and turned late night TV into woke night TV, I disagree with that part. When he talks about Stephen Colbert not being funny, I can't really disagree, because in my humble opinion, Stephen Colbert ain't Jon Stewart, and Stephen Colbert ain't David Letterman. And I think Stephen Colbert found a lane with the political content, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to say that Stephen Colbert's political views are not shared by me on many, many, many subjects. What I'm saying is that franchise can do something like what I'm doing right now, and in the next breath, we can talk about stupid crap, and we can have celebrities. I'm talking about the late night shows, and have celebrities on, and do it more than the... He was known more as a political pundit than he was as a talk show host. You never got the, you know,
if you push away half your audience, you're not going to make the money.
But the thing is, Jon Stewart did the same thing Colbert does, but Jon Stewart did it better.
Yeah.
And you know, when you talk about the Late Show franchise, David Letterman was in the great tradition of Johnny Carson. Kind of stayed on the outside when it came to stuff like that. And he certainly didn't make it every single day. And even when I was watching Comedy Central and, you know, the Colbert Report, I always thought he tried too hard. I'm sorry, I did. And the reason I bring this up is because we love to divide and we love to say everybody that's on the left is going to support Stephen Colbert. Bullshit. I'm not. And I'm not doing it because of the fact that they're kowtowing to Trump. I don't care if they're kowtowing. The bottom line is the Stephen Colbert show, the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, was never in the beloved category that Carson was. Now, you can say it's because of television and how it's evolved and how we've become fractionalized. But I also think that the great hosts, you know, and I include Conan O'Brien in that group, the great funny men, that the job one was, what's the best bit we can do? And I think, really, if I was to come out here every single day and talk about Donald Trump, I think it would be, first of all, I'd be in the wrong medium. I wouldn't be on the Mike O'Mara show because it wouldn't be appropriate for me to be doing this show. We like to be an inch deep and a mile wide. We really do. But to me, it's a kind of a cop-out. You know, if you're going to do that kind of television, go on MSNBC, go on Fox, go on a political show. And it was just like, do you remember David Letterman, Rob? Do you remember the belly laughs that you would get
with
Larry Bud Melman and with stupid Petrix and with, you know, Dave doing stupid and stuff Dave, like dropping, you know, watermelons off the top of the building?
And
you know?
Not being totally tone deaf to politics, Dave would make fun of anyone who was in power. Which is in the grand tradition. It wasn't partisan. It was just politicians that he would make fun of and he would mock. And that's okay.
And he'd do it in a great way. And I thought that was a lot
in
of fun.
In a way, it's kind of unifying when you make fun of them all.
I used to, I watched the clips of the shows and I just got to a point with Stephen Colbert was like, oh, okay, here he goes again. And now.
Well, we can agree that he's not funny. We can agree that he's never been funny. But
I don't think
he's
ever been. And I'm not trying to.
No,
this is not a political statement. I didn't think he was funny on the Colbert Report.
No,
I think it was pre-written, and he just oversold it.
I watch a lot of late night television, either live or on clips, because I'm always looking for stuff, and I never ever find anything worthwhile with Stephen Colbert. However, I've seen numbers, and he was the number one in late night.
Yeah. His numbers were good, but not good like Johnny Carson.
Not good enough to save him.
I hate to say it. Somebody said I'm a shill for Jay Leno.
Yeah, you love him.
That made me laugh. Yeah, I love him.
I think his age demographic was like 67 or something for his median age of his viewers.
Mm. Yeah.
Way too high when you look at Fallon has lower numbers, but a young demographic.
A younger demographic.
When you're comparing numbers, is it IQ as well? Is Fallon also lower there?
And the bells and the whistles and the bright lights. When you consider the guys that we used to have, where, you know, first of all, you'd have big, big, big mega stars.
Yeah.
Movie stars, pop music stars that would come out, and these mega stars would just sit there and panel, and every guest would stay. Because it was like a cocktail party. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's just like right now, if you want to get true greatness in that vein, I have no idea if Graham Norton is still making television over in the UK. But Graham Norton's one of the best I've ever seen.
I don't know. He talks funny.
Oh, stop it. I love good. You don't like Graham Norton?
No, I do.
It's pretty good stuff. It really, really
but
is.
To what you say is that I was on the outset saddened that we lost a late night show because it's sort of the part of the backbone of our entertainment
industry.
Very
disappointed that the franchise was killed.
But to look at it, it's been dead for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It's not what it used to be.
Just look
Kimmel
at his
has
guest
good
list.
Moments. Yeah.
His guest list for the past week is also shows you it's not an entertaining show.
Who's his guest list?
Adam Schiff, Anthony Corrigan, Noah Cyrus, Sandra Oh, Dave Franco, Bad Bunny, Leanne Morgan, Grace Potter, Steve Buscemi, Josh Shapiro.
Bad Bunny's very funny.
I rest my case on that. It's just, it's sad
and
because
I personally
we
might
need
think,
that. You know?
I think he's a great bunny.
I really, really, not a bad bunny. Then. You think he's a great bunny? Look,
I do.
I just hate to see something that we could all kind of laugh at. But you're right. It's all fractionalized now.
It's divisive and everything. I have to wonder if the brilliant minds at CBS, because they're always making good decisions.
Quinn R. Just said, bring back Craig Ferguson.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
Talk about unsung and then replaced by Super Dick. That, you know, the little man from England.
Corden.
James Corden.
James Corden, who the entire time he was on television tried so hard to make you like him. Oh, please like me. Please, please.
Unrewarding when I watched
meaningless.
That. You know, I go back now, and Carson had this too. And I think one of the great dynamics in life is a flirtatious exchange between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, and by the way, Graham Norton would prove between a man too, which he's done on that show, and it can be really funny. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Carson did it. David Letterman did it to an extent, but nobody did it like Craig Ferguson.
I know.
And he would have absolute stunning, beautiful women come on that show, and he was charming in such a way that he would bring that out and be flirtatious in a beautiful way. And that,
wasn't it magical when a good-looking lady would come out on the stage with him and Ferguson would just lean back. Like, I'm ready for this now. Like,
oh, okay. He'd love it. And yes, first of all, he was so confident. I mean, that was a guy that you could look at, and with his humor and the way he did that, mm-hmm. I mean, that is not easy to do because Conan was awkward, Jay was awkward, Letterman was awkward, and even, Ferguson beats Carson in that regard.
Sure.
Ferguson beats Carson.
Had his targets. Yes. Like if Angie Dickinson was on or Diane Cannon.
Oh, absolutely. Diane Cannon, too. That was great. But, and then Conan would do it in that kind of awkward schoolboy way that was fantastic. And when you talk about blowing up a late night franchise, like Late Night with David Letterman and then Stephen Colbert, you're talking about killing something that I still think would have a bit of potential for everybody to watch on a certain
night. You're full of hope. That's good. But
I don't know. You think it's dead for good? Do you think? I mean, it's television. It's broadcasting. It changes on a whim. Yeah, they could change
the thing I wanted to ask about CBS, do you think there was any chance they brought him in, Colbert, with the notion in mind of politicizing it and bringing that half of our nation to that?
I'm sure, because it had traction. That's why he had the ratings. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why he had. I just think that it's the funny factor that I really like. And when it got to a point where he was so heavy-handed, you know, he's a pretty heavy-duty guy mm-hmm. as far as his opinions are concerned. He's pretty set in his perceptions of religion and politics and all of that. And I think people like that don't even open the door a crack. You know, Josh and I have discussions from opposing points of view on almost at least every other day.
That's why Bill Maher has lasted forever.
Yeah. Because Bill Maher will at a certain point say, I don't know what Bill Maher would say. Would they say, don't deify this guy? Is it my job to be, somebody who's on the left who has to say, what they did was to... Yeah, I think the guy doesn't elicit that kind of support from me.
I don't think it's going to be easy to raise that kind of support because I think, as a rule, the average American has no interest in a late night show anymore. Right before COVID, David Spade did a show called Lights Out.
And you liked it, right?
Oh, my God. It was perfect. It was a half-hour late-night show.
Right.
One guest. He did the monologue at the end, and they did stunts, and it was funny. Funny. And they canceled it because I don't think there's a need for that sort of format anymore.
There's too much competition in that format with podcasts now and YouTube shows.
I suppose you're right.
To sit down and do an interview.
Mm-hmm.
It costs way too much money to make that show.
It does. 200, I hear 200 staff. We're on late night. 200 people.
Yeah.
200 people. That's stunning. So that's my take.
And
on
in that 200,
things.
Mike, two writers.
Let me ask both of you: do you think eventually that all things Epstein, and I'm talking, we know what we're all wanting as Americans, names. Let me know names.
Yeah.
Do you think we will ever get any of that released to the public?
I do.
You do.
I do. No. I think that it's going to come out a little bit at first, and it's going to whet the appetite of the entire country, even people that support Trump. They're going to want to know what's up in any case, and it's going to be too strong of a demand for the government to not release it. They've already said they're not going to release it, and now they're getting closer.
And I think whatever comes out, we're not going to believe that it's all of it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because we'll be disappointed that there's not. Yeah, those things always are like that. When they make this big a deal and people get their, panties in a wad about what's going to be released and what's not going to be released, it always ends up being a bit of a letdown.
Yeah. Mike was destroyed when they released all this stuff about the Kennedy assassination. He wanted more.
Remember, two words, though, when that list is released.
What's that?
Matt Lauer. All right, there you go.
Oh, dear. Oh, Matthew.
It's the New York Connection. The Mike O'Meara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And hey, we got lots more show coming up for you today. But first, I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I have my favorite sunglasses. I have my huge black inner tube and a cooler full of submarine sandwiches and Fresca.
Fresca.
I'm ready for a relaxing day at the pool. Just not with my old swim trunks.
Mike, I got to tell you, I hated your old bathing suit.
I know you did. You told me that.
I really did. Yeah.
Yeah. You used to. Rob would call me after. I would Facebook him, FaceTime him. I would FaceTime him by the pool, and he would say, "Oh, how you doing, old baggy pants?"
I said, "What are you doing? Look at yourself. Stop
Listen,
that."
Now I've got something comfortable, versatile, and built to last. This episode is brought to you by Fair Harbor, makers of the world's most comfortable swimwear. If you are heading to the beach or you have a vacation coming up, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Pack their breeze knit line trunks and say goodbye to mesh linings forever.
Goodbye.
Tell your mesh to get bent.
Yes.
You see, mesh is bad, but Fair Harbor trunks are soft, chafe-free, built to move. These trunks are softer than anything you've ever felt before. Even if you were an infant, you reached around and felt your own ass. You got to give Fair Harbor a try. With millions of swimsuits sold and over 70,000 five-star reviews, Fair Harbor is a crowd favorite for a reason. Fair Harbor also carries a full line of casual clothing, great shorts, shirts, and the best hoodies ever. So what? So let's dance. You can match Josh and me. Sexy. Head to fairharborclothing.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for 20% off your first purchase. That's Fairharbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, clothing.com/TMOS for 20%, ladies and gentlemen. 20% off your first purchase. And make sure you use the promo code TMOS so they know that the TMOS staff sent you, everybody. Hey, hey. Back to the old school. Paper in front, glasses on, hand on whoosh, button pushed.
And course, whoosh?
There it is. Ozzy Osbourne had a really cool take on how he wanted his funeral to go down. He said his family could do whatever they want as long as it makes them happy. Because as we were talking, I think a short time ago, funerals are for the living. He said, quote, "I honestly don't care what they play at my funeral. They can put it on a medley of Justin Bieber, Susan Boyle, and We Are the Diddymen if it makes them happy." We Are the Diddymen is a nonsensical song by British comedian Ken Dodd. But in other interviews, he has said that he'd like his funeral to be a celebration, not a mope fest. And he said he'd like them to play a Beatles song, possibly, A Day in the Life.
Nice.
Isn't that interesting that that's what he would choose? You got to like that, Mr. Beatles fan.
I do.
He also said it would be fun to play a video of him asking his doctor for a second opinion. That is funny. That's awesome.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
I wanted the phone to ring.
Hello, Mike O'Mara Show. What can we do for you?
I'm Ozzy Osbourne, and I'm the Prince of Darkness.
In other Ozzy news, paramedics reportedly tried for 2 hours to save his life, and a Birmingham bridge that pays tribute to Black Sabbath has become a memorial site for
Ozzy
Osbourne.
I like that.
Drake, who played Birmingham last night, stopped by the bridge and poured one out for Ozzy. This one's for Ozzy. So I think that's pretty cool.
I think if you really wanted to do one for Ozzy, it might involve a syringe.
Well, he had a few substances.
And they squirt far. That'd be fun. You could do that from the car.
That's very, very exciting. This is Ozzy Osbourne. I'm the flipping Prince of Darkness. I want that louder. Where's my whoosh? Play it again, please.
Play the whoosh or of not. Darkness.
God.
There you go.
F it. A school district in Tennessee announced that doctor's notes would no longer excuse a child's absence. The Lawrence County school system said the stricter policy is to improve the district's attendance rate. I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this. Kids will just be marked present or absent, and there are punishments for absence, sick or not. After three no-shows, schools will start an intervention. If a kid misses eight or more days, they will be referred to juvenile court for truancy. If a child goes to school sick, can't make it through the day, and the school nurse sends them home, that child will be marked as tardy. The director of schools is Michael Adkins, and he is a no-nonsense kind of guy. He says, "We are going to take control of the attendance of our students. You can bring all the doctor's notes you want, but it is still unexcused." I say yay.
I say nay.
No.
Why?
No.
First of all, I don't care for the word tardy. Never have. But perhaps most importantly, did we not just come off of a pandemic that
exactly.
was spread by people going to places they shouldn't go when they're sick?
And I don't want my kid sick because you sent your kid in.
Exactly. Keep them home. You'd keep them home for the safety of others. That's what you do.
You can fail the grade. You can fail the course. You are going. This is the same administrator. Okay. You are going to be petitioned to court. You are not going to participate in graduation, get your driver's license or permit. There may be exemptions for verified chronic illnesses, like what you just mentioned.
Okay.
And severe injuries.
But he said, if you may have, be. There may be. He's not
he
saying
he said, if you have the sniffles, that's fine. You are going to have them when you go to work one day. We have all gone to work sick and hurt and beat up.
I never have.
Yeah, but you won't get a doctor's note for that.
That's true. I think a doctor should be the ultimate arbiter here. If you're sick enough to go to the doctor and he's saying stay out of school, you got to let them out of school. Don't you think?
I'm very much a taskmaster when it comes to school sickness. It was with all my kids as far as, you know, I just think that Carl is much easier than I am when it comes to that, but I see your point. I actually might stand corrected on that.
Take grades into account as well.
Yeah.
You don't want to hold a kid back for missing days if they're a straight A student.
Exactly.
Gentlemen, I can only say one thing. The Chinese are practically at our border.
Yes. Right? This
they're
is
getting
true.
Ready to invade.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in Canada.
We need to toughen up. We
you
need
think?
To toughen these kids up in my home.
I remember you saying, I don't care that Robert has leukemia. Make him go to preschool.
Yeah, I said, come on now. You know, really, that's not fair to every. Hi, come on around and show everybody what you look like wearing your fishing. He's wearing his fishing. What is that? A bakla, bakla, bakla?
A what?
Right, come on, just lean in. Don't mosey over 12-year-old.
Hi.
Oh, that's
him.
Good. That's a good outfit for the heat.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, you got to stay nice and cool.
He's got his fishing backpack on.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going fishing in the neighborhood, are you?
Hey, I've got the same one.
Look what I have, though. Look. No what? One knows who I am.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, keep that on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Again,
knock your socks off.
It's going to be nice and cool
on the other street.
Don't get arrested.
He's going
to see you later.
He's going to come home with that backpack full of smelt.
Go get that bass. And I ought to know because I was, who was I, Rob? I was a bass. What was my name?
Oh, Big Mouth Billy Bass.
No, it was Happy Bass.
Happy Bass, of course.
The official Lake Anna spokes bass.
Is he covering his nose to go fishing or because of the smell in the house?
I think he's covering
it
too.
Oh, the bug spray.
Neither. He is actually going so he will be undetected by the nasty, curmudgeon-y neighbors that say, fishing!
If anyone pulls him aside, have him identify himself as the Shopper's Food Warehouse tomato.
I'm Happy Bass. 43 miles of crystal clear shoreline. Malcolm Jamal Warner's death could have been even more tragic because he was swimming, this is sad, with his 8-year-old daughter when he drowned. They got caught in a rip current in Limon, Costa Rica, but a surfer was able to save his daughter. By the time Warner was pulled to shore by a lifeguard and another surfer, he was too far gone. God, that's sad. They gave him CPR for 45 minutes, but it was no use. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Malcolm was very secretive about his wife and daughter, so he didn't put it all out there for people, which I sometimes respect an awful lot.
When I found out about his passing, it affected me right away because I grew up watching him and we were the same age and it really, and I wondered if maybe I'm too invested that I would be troubled by it. But it turns out he was so beloved by the entire showbiz community that he was a good guy.
Yeah, very, very good guy.
Tragic.
Very, very sad. Paramount has been accused of pandering to President Trump. That's the whole Colbert thing we were talking about. On Tuesday, they finalized a $1.5 billion deal with the South Park franchise for streaming rights and five more years of new shows. And how did South Park repay them? On last night's season premiere, they absolutely skewered President Trump, conservatives, and even Paramount itself. In the episode, Trump is in a sexual relationship with Satan.
Yeah.
Just like Saddam Hussein used to be. He's also shown naked and with a tiny wiener. In the episode, Trump sues South Park and they eventually reach a settlement, but part of it includes them doing pro-Trump PSAs. Then they ran for, they run the first PSA, which is a live-action video of a Trump impersonator in the desert. At the end, he strips naked and shows his tiny wiener. God.
I've seen it. It's not, Mike, it's not prurient. You will not be turned on by this video. Damn. Despite the video, despite the nudity,
I'm not even a South Park person.
I don't, I'm not either.
Probably either. Funnier than that would even be. 53-year-old Sacha Baron Cohen put his abs on full display for Men's Fitness UK. The full article comes out tomorrow, but for now, we've got a tease of his new oiled-up physique. I didn't get you a picture of it. Sorry about that. Sacha's transformation isn't too much of a shock, considering the that he just made his Marvel debut as supervillain Mephisto on the series Ironheart. And Marvel boss Kevin Feige, I hope I pronounced that correctly, he confirmed we'll be seeing more of the character. Sacha shared photos and joke, quote, "This is not AI. I really am egotistical enough to do this. Some celebs use Ozempic. Some use private chefs. Others use personal trainers. I did all three." He also added that he was hard launching his midlife crisis. There he is. Yeah. Is that really the dude?
That's him.
Wow. Do you know how he looks, Mike? Very nice.
Very nice. My brother Bilo, you'll never get this. You'll never get this. La, 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 la. He also added he was a middle-aged man who replaced beer with protein shakes.
Ah.
So there's that. An influencer posted a video of herself swimming through some beautiful foam in the ocean. Let's roll that tape of this influencer.
So much fun. I literally don't even feel the cold. That is salty.
Oh.
Only later she found out that it might have been raw sewage.
Yeah, that happened to a local broadcaster here in Channel 5 during a hurricane. Tucker Barnes was in Ocean City, and he was enveloped by foam that was later found out to be sewage.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I just have to say to her when you're swimming into foam and you finally find a home. Diarrhea.
That's
diarrhea.
Not
the song. There it is. So good luck to her. She's from South Africa.
Yeah.
She's from South Africa, the David. And she was surrounded by poop foam yesterday.
Poop diarrhea. Foam. What's oh, there's that? Tucker.
That's Tucker. That's Tucker.
Oh, my God. That's worse.
Yeah.
It's really worse.
Yeah. Oh, that is so nasty.
I love Tucker Barnes, but that's really unfortunate.
Poopy, 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 poopy. Hey, we got more show coming up, but first I want to tell you about our friends at Dermglow. Well, not really our friends. My wife.
She's
big
my friend.
For the month. That's very nice. For the month of July only, GLP-1 and GIP are on sale. That's right. Both full-dose weight loss and microdosing options are discounted this month. So do you need to lose 30 pounds or more? GLP-1 and GIP are weight loss game changers. They curb cravings, calm food noise, and help your body burn fat like never before. And if you only need to drop 5 to 15 pounds, then tirzepatide microdosing option is a gentle, effective, and perfect way for getting lean without harsh side effects. Great for maintenance, too. Here's how easy it is. You take a quiz online, get approved by a licensed provider, sit back. Your prescription is shipped right to your door. No appointments, no stress. I'm here to tell you these work. I took my little shot last evening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in between the shot really taking hold and, you know, and me responding to it, I moseyed over to the freezer to grab a treat that had been deposited there by something in the mail dropped off by my friend Rob Spiewak.
Okay.
And that was a quintuple sextuple wrapped fruitcake based on the consistency from, I think, 1987, and I still dove into it. And
did it not travel well? I'm so sorry to hear that.
The moisture factor was not what they normally are. I don't know how long that had been frozen, but it was still
the
greatest fruitcake in the world.
Glad you liked it.
At the very end, it came out this morning because I didn't even notice it. There's a big chunk of it left. I didn't eat the whole thing. I would have always eaten the full.
Yes.
That's what these things do for you.
Attaboy.
You really have to do that. Real results. For a limited time, it's all on sale, but only 1 week left. So act now. If you're ready to change your body and your mindset, tap the link, take the quiz, and let's go. DermGlowSkin.com. Let's see Josh's new appliance, shall we? I'm very excited about
this. He's been teasing this, and I actually requested it yesterday, and he said, not yet. So obviously...
I wanted to try it out first and make sure I was happy with it.
Okay. Are you happy?
Because, well, Kelly and my mom have been trying to convince me to stop drinking Red Bull.
Okay.
So when I was in England, I enjoyed tea. So I decided I would purchase a tea kettle and try to make the transition.
Is that really an appliance, though?
If it's an electric tea kettle,
it's an electric tea kettle.
I love my electric tea kettle.
Okay.
I've got a really nice tea kettle here that I'm very happy with.
Oh, look at that.
It's like something out of Beauty and the Beast.
It's elegant. Yeah, be our guest.
It's electric.
Put Josh Roker to the test. Yes.
Tells my phone when it's ready for me to add the tea leaves.
Oh, tea leaves. So you're really doing the tea thing.
So
you know what?
Leaves in.
That's not just an electric water kettle, then. That actually brews the tea for you. I stand corrected. Wow.
And then I have to pour it through a little filter and into my mug. And I am starting today to not drink Red Bull and instead drink tea.
Let me see. Can you open it up and can we see the mechanism a little bit? See what you put the tea leaves into, please?
Well, it's empty right now. I've already drank it and cleaned it.
He drank all the tea.
Oh, except for that water that I just spilled on my desk.
What kind of tea do you like? What are you going for now?
I'm a black tea.
Black tea?
Yeah.
Yes.
Got all right.
Not Earl Grey?
It is Earl Grey.
You know what? That lady in the foam, Mike, the lady in the foam likes salty.
Salty.
Yes.
Poop tea.
Poop tea.
Upper Decker tea is what she likes.
I don't like putting anything in my tea. I like it just straight. So I am... just an Earl Grey guy, unless other people have opinions. But right now,
you
I just spilled a bunch of water.
You can
on
have
my
afternoon
iPad.
Tea before the show. Have tea and like
high
a,
tea.
I've
finger,
got tea right
finger
here.
Sandwiches. Yeah. You got hot tea right
I've
now.
I've got hot tea right here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Now, what about iced tea? Because you don't drink Red Bull hot, so you need to replace it. You need probably iced tea, right?
Probably, but I want the caffeine of the tea.
I understand.
Well, I'd like to continue with this fascinating discussion, but since we're talking about food and drink,
yes.
I think it's a good time for me to bring up my little salad question that I wanted to ask you guys.
Good.
There is a new product that we are enjoying, and that is the old Eggland's Best company comes out with these little bags of the hard-boiled eggs, and it's got like four or five of these little eggs in them if you don't want to hassle with them.
If you go to Costco, you can get dozens in a bag.
You mean dozens of hard-boiled eggs?
Peeled hard-boiled eggs, yeah.
Really? I've never seen that.
It's
Where
a seasonal. It's a seasonal. It's
Why is it seasonal?
I don't know. And I was going to say it's in the garden section, but no. It's in the refrigerated section of your local Costco. It always looks a little off-putting to me to see a pre-peeled egg.
Well, I know, but the thing is, I've gotten them before other companies, and there's something... like super sanitary about the Eggland ones that come out. They're they're just really
not rubbery.
Look good. No, they look good. And so I've been taking again to making my salads, egg salads, and it made me think to ask you guys when it comes to the sandwich salads.
Yeah.
I was curious about the big three. You know, if you're in a pinch, the sandwich salad you would go for, would it be the chicken or the tuna? Or the egg. I can't think of another egg. Yeah, there's ham
well, there's
salad.
Ham
but
that,
there's
salad.
Ham count. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But ham, who cares? Nobody makes that. So, you know, I was thinking, do you have a preference for... I can tell you, there to me is nothing better in the whole wide world than a delicious egg salad sandwich. And if I can just add this before we let you guys take this over. I got myself that little, accordion slicer, you know, that super egg slicer that you
mandolin?
Have. It's sort of a mandolin, but it's like you sit the egg down and then
wires?
It's got a handle on it and the wires cut through the egg.
Yeah. And egg so slicer, a berry egg, slicer, a mushroom slicer, yeah.
And I do the slice and then I turn the egg around as I hold it together and I do another slice.
Smart.
And then I pour it into the bowl. Bingo, bango, no breaking it up with your fork and you got your beautiful egg salad. And I had an egg salad sandwich for lunch today, and it was just dreamy. And that's when I said to myself, this is the greatest salad ever. There's no better salad, in my opinion, than egg salad.
The salads are strong all through. Carrie just made a chicken salad this past week that was excellent.
Any specialty salad? Like she put any nuts or cranberries?
No, but we have occasionally made one with that does have nuts and grapes in it, which is really good. Mm-hmm. On a croissant. But all told, if you're going to have your choice, you got to go egg salad.
There you go.
Because it requires more preparation.
Attaboy.
So it's more of a treat.
That's it. We are simpatico on that, but we're getting some violent head shakes from the man from St. Augustine.
I hate hard-boiled eggs.
Why?
Because I hate the way they taste, the way they smell. I don't like them.
I don't
like them. They do smell like a fart.
They do.
So I am a chicken salad guy, especially if you can throw some grapes, cranberries, apples, some fruit in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Perfect.
And you know what? This discussion has been satisfying for me because we've got two that like the egg. Then the chicken salad comes in second. And the last one, which is, I think, kind of a go-to, is the tuna salad.
Well,
but tuna
you can,
salad
yeah,
is
you
just
can always
that.
Keep, you can keep a can of tuna in your pantry forever. It's a great
and it's
go-to.
Fine. And the thing about tuna is that...
Yeah, buddy.
If you go... I will never eat tuna salad at... like a deli.
Me neither.
I will never go to like Subway and get a tuna. I find tuna made somewhere else to be about as gross as it gets.
Yes.
I want to see that tuna fish in the can and I want to make it myself.
Also,
chicken salad, I'll buy chicken salad all day. That little deli we had across the street, the bagel joint, whatever, the Einstein bagels.
Yeah.
I used to get my little, chicken salad on a bagel.
It's
used
beautiful.
To love that.
What do you add to your tuna salad?
Do you know those little lizards that are down here, the anole eggs? Now, hold on. I forgot a great salad, but it's
a
sandwich salad.
What is it?
Potato.
Oh, potato salad with a ham.
But that's with macaroni salad.
Can you handle potato salad with hard-boiled eggs in it? Because a lot of recipes for potato salad have eggs. Do you like that?
I'll eat potato salad once in a while.
With eggs in it.
If I can't tell the eggs are in it, yes.
Do you
like
feel that you will be
fried or scrambled?
I like fried eggs. Scrambled are okay.
Do you think that if we made the arrangements
of a hard-boiled egg also gets me?
Would
slimy.
You eat potato salad on the cruise for an audience?
That doesn't sound good.
Cruise potato salad.
Potato salad is right behind tuna salad for salads to get out.
Oh, it's you want it? You want like it homemade?
Yeah. I want it homemade. And my mother-in-law makes the greatest potato salad in the world that has made its way through both families. And whenever Carla now goes to like a cookout with my family, it's are you going to bring the potato salad? You going to bring the potato salad? Mm-hmm. Everybody really likes that.
Oh, you should share that one.
That's a good idea. You know, it would be nice. If I could like put pen to paper and share it with everybody
that's
in some way.
That's just silly. What are you talking? That's nonsense.
Write a nice letter of gratitude for your salad.
To the potatoes.
I will do that.
Do you feel the tuna salad when it is left unattended for like an hour, even if it's in the fridge, the flavor changes and it is no longer appealing?
Tuna salad?
Yes.
I think tuna salad should be consumed almost immediately.
I agree. It's a delicate thing.
And it should not be overmixed.
No, you want some chonks.
I don't like it when it's just this goo.
Well, that's
tuna
why I think
goo.
Subway mixes like Old Bay into theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So the flavor stays.
Well, that's your Baltimore heritage right there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
Everything's
like got
to have a little touch of that stuff in it. You know, for Christ's sake, put it in the Christmas stockings. Old Bay.
It
Come
works
on now.
In the goldfish.
Put the Old Bay in there. Come on now. Dump that Old Bay in there for everybody you enjoy. That's spectacular stuff. All right, we're going to talk about body parts we're going to lose in
Great.
A second. But before
Great.
We do that, I really, really, really want to tell you about Naked Wines. I love Naked Wines, and I want you to be the next person that walks into the party and go, hey, Sven is here. He's got the Naked Wines.
Good old Sven.
Don't you want to be Sven? Just show up with a bottle of wine with a truly unique story. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. It is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a case of the market's best quality wines and you pay a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. You use that great code, T-M-A-O-O-S-A.
Can you say it right? Because not everyone speaks Spanish.
T-M-O-S.
Thank you.
T-M-A-O-S-A.
Good.
You can get 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. You need to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and put in our code for both the code and password. That's the code. I've given it to you 9 times already.
Yeah.
You'll get 6 bottles of wine, $39.99, shipping included. That's nakedwines.com. Shipping included is a big deal.
Huge. With wine, of course.
A bunch of wine. That's heavy. It's got liquid in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nakedwines.com/TMOS and the code TMOS. Of all the copy I read on this show, I'm going to be brutally honest
right now.
Okay?
That's what the listener
deserves. I'm going to tell you this. When I say nakedwines.com/TMOS and the code TMOS, I don't think, although it is a legitimate instruction, mm-hmm. for people to go there and put it in 2 different places.
Right.
Saying it like that is very difficult.
You approved of that rewrite because you hated the way it used to be.
I hate the whole concept.
I just want
people to go to Naked Wines, and I want you to put in our code twice.
You know what we need? We need 2 promo codes.
Yes, we do.
So you can say 2 different things.
Yes.
No, Mike, you don't need to put it in twice. You use one in the address.
How about
nakedwines.com/TMOS
and the code FUC?
Hey, no.
Anyway, $39.99. It's a great deal. 2 codes, both TMOS.
Yes.
Now fill my bejeweled glass and bring on the merriment, for 'tis truly a night to remember. Huzzah! Also, zounds.
Yes, it's another good Shakespearean expletive.
Zounds.
It means by God's wounds, Mike.
Every once in a while, at least once a month, we have our medical corner and our medical segment featuring Dr. Robert Spiewak.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert Spiewak is a renowned general practitioner physician practicing on the wonderful municipality of Toga Toga on Sri Lanka.
Exactly.
And now, without further ado, here's Dr. Spiewak.
You know, the human body is constantly adapting, evolving even. I don't care if you don't think that evolution is going to, bless you, if evolution is a fact or not. Mm-hmm. Fact is, we're changing as we become better people. Yeah. And because of this, there are certain things that our body is going to phase out, and humans will stop having these features many years in the future. For example, when we were, Mike, when we were cavemen, do you remember being a caveman? Body hair was important to keep you warm. You needed that thermal layer. Mm-hmm. How about this?
Yeah.
Body hair is going away because we no longer need it to stay warm.
Not here, it ain't.
I know, me neither. I didn't think that would be true. But Rob's
back, we call him the loom.
How do they determine it's going away?
It says hair serves no longer any purpose and that body hair will no longer be useful and thus disappear in the near future. However,
hey, Rob,
we're going to keep our eyebrows.
Rob, when you're reading your copy and you put your nose down like that, we can't hear you. So you need to speak into
that would be your dream come true, wouldn't it?
What's that?
Not hearing me.
No, I want to know about it. I have to enlighten you that I have more than enough hair down there.
As do I. Plenty of hair.
So
I'd be happy to see it go away.
Future generations just won't grow body hair?
Yeah, true.
But
that's
a fact. Will that mean the hair on their head as well?
No, you'll get to keep your hair on your head and your eyebrows for some reason, they say.
But not beards.
No, no. And why would you want one? What a hassle, man.
But look at how many beards are around now. Every boy's got a beard now.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I watch a lot of fishing shows. They all have beards.
Mike, I hope you enjoy having nipples.
Are nipples going away?
Male nipples are going away.
Well, what are they really for, right?
And why haven't they gone away before now?
Exactly. It's a good question.
Fact is, male nipples are getting smaller.
Okay. All right.
So how because big mine used small. To be?
They used to be massive.
Men used to have giant, like helipad.
Yeah. My nipples look like
bad size aureolas.
My nipples look like dreidels. Big ones.
There you go. But they're now, you know, some of them are just pinpricks now.
Yeah.
Just little pinpoints.
Horrible. Scientists say male nipples will disappear over time because they're not making milk.
Did people before us have that we don't have anymore?
They were covered head to toe in a thick mat of hair with nipples the size of coasters.
I have nipples, Greg.
Can you milk me?
Ear muscles that have been used in the past to point your ears in different directions to hear predators.
Oh!
They're going away. The thing that has existed, have you ever known anyone that could wiggle their ears?
Contest on the cruise. Yeah, John, we'll get right on that.
Smallest nipple wins. So, Mike, it has to be a singular one. It's not a pair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just one in the middle.
But
like a keg tap.
Have you ever known anyone that could wiggle their ears?
Yes.
Okay. That is the ear musculature.
That would be something I could see you with all your theater kids doing in high school.
No.
Where they'd all gather around Rob and he'd wiggle his ears.
No, they gathered around me and they just cheered. That's all they did.
What did they cheer for?
How funny I was.
God. I'm a barf.
They didn't really.
I'm a barf. Hey, listen, share this episode. Smash that like button, won't you?
All right. So, Mike, this is one of my favorites. Pretty soon, we're only going to have 8 toes.
Oh, we're going to get more toes?
No.
No, we're going to get
8
less
total.
Toes.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about on 1 foot.
The pinky toe is going away.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well,
that's not good for
now.
The golf swing.
Is it? Is it
no,
a troublesome thing?
You want a stable platform. You know, if you lost a pinky, you'd have balance issues.
Do you have a very prominent pinky toe or sort of a less than impressive one?
Less than impressive.
Then
less than
me
impressive.
Too. Mike, that means we're advanced. We're further along the evolution.
What? You're sounding advanced right now.
Yeah, my brain went away.
I think
away.
Your tongue went away.
We're further along the evolutionary scale because our toes have started to disappear.
I've told you what the line was from my dad when he was talking to my mom about growing a beard. Mm-hmm. And my dad couldn't grow a beard. And the harbor master up in Maine said, "Hey, Bill, why don't you put some cream on that and have the cat lick it off?" And then
That'll hurt a gentleman's feelings.
And he was very upset. He tried to grow a beard one summer. He couldn't. And we're having a family dinner one night. And we're laughing because at that time, I had a beard. I was home from college. And
right.
I had this big, bushy, Irish red beard.
Yes.
And we were talking about the fact that my mother, I got my hirsute from my mom. And my dad was kind of like cue ball. Didn't have hair on his body. And he looked across as he's having his roast, taking a big bite of food, and says, "It's very simple, Mary. My ancestors came out of the trees before yours did." I love you, Pops. I do. I love you. Fantastico. All right.
Goose flesh. Goose flesh will no longer happen in the future because when the hairs go away, there's nothing to make your skin get all goose fleshy because the hair isn't there. So when you get scared. You know,
it's
when
like
you get
the
scared.
Same thing a porcupine would do
like
in danger.
Pumps.
Yeah.
They stick their skin out to, you know, it's really probably from that.
Yeah, it is.
We've evolved from those creatures mm-hmm. that use that as a defense mechanism. That's why when you get frightened by something or something's really stimulating, your little
your hair
goosebumps
stands up,
go
or
up.
Your goosebumps, yeah.
That's a great book series.
Too. Are you going to? I'm surprised you know about it.
No, I have kids. Christ's sake. Come
on. Well, that's the first batch, right?
Yes.
Okay. The coccyx, Mike. How's your coccyx? Your tailbone.
Today it's doing okay. But I will tell you on my left side, next week I think I get the shot in the neck. And now I got a pain in the back down lower. So I'm a mess. And I'm wondering if it really continues with the neck, I can golf with the low back.
Mm-mm.
That can keep me off the course.
The coccyx, Mike, is what's left of when we used to have tails, which were important for balance and communication, especially when we were climbing trees. But we no longer do that, so the coccyx is going to go away eventually, and it will help people with their posture.
That is
that
little triangular bone
mm-hmm.
at the base of your spine.
Right, and it's going to go away. It's just evolving away from it.
It would seem to me that that has an effect on preventing injury too, as that bone will prevent you from landing right on one of your vertebrae.
I don't know that's the case because it's what's left for when we had tails. So, I mean, it's not a necessary thing.
Did John Cougar Mellencamp really have a tail?
No. He had like spina bifida or something.
Okay. And,
yeah. Right. Okay. But we've addressed. I do remember that.
Paul has a tail, right?
Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Thank you.
And it's not any, it's an elephant's tail. It's got gray and leathery with hair on the end. Yeah. Mike, good news, although this doesn't affect me because I still have mine, wisdom teeth are going away.
Well,
we don't
I
need
had
them.
Those out. I had a dry socket, too. You know what that
oh,
is?
Oh, yes.
That's pain of a different magnitude, boy.
It's horrible.
That's nasty. Mm-hmm.
Your neck rib, this guy, this bump here.
You mean that, your collarbone?
Well, yeah, it's called
collarbone.
A neck. It's called a neck rib.
And that is a neck rib. Up what you pointed
I think
to
it's
is
under,
a collarbone.
I think it's under the collarbone.
This and right it, here? That's a collarbone.
The right? set of ribs is incomplete or extremely thin, and it actually causes artery issues. So I believe it's the top rib under the collarbone is going to go away.
All right. I don't know how big it is, but it's certainly obscured by the collarbone.
Yeah. Is it bigger than your nipples, Greg?
My giant pancake-sized nipples.
Huge.
It looks and by like... the way, you say, what kind of pancake? Just roll over to IHOP. Look at the standard one. That's how big I'm talking about.
Your nipples look like a chocolate kiss on a pancake.
Big eraser-colored nipples the size of an IHOP pancake. You can
Well, those two have gotten smaller.
You can eat.
All right. Stupid have you ever?
Show. Are we done with this yet?
I've got the last
sake?
One here.
Okay,
I think
last
this is great.
One. He have holds ever... in his hand the last item that we're going to lose.
You know how great it is when you hand a baby something and it grabs it like a rattle or a pistol, something like that?
Yeah,
absolutely. Our hands.
Yeah. The grasp reflex is going away. We eventually, when we have babies, they won't instinctually grab at things anymore.
Well, that's good. That's
you think?
Yeah, I don't like kids that are grabby.
Well, you don't want them grabby.
It's fair for Dennis Murphy.
Hey,
now
there
that's,
you go.
That's like a that, shock jock joke
that's
right
shock
there.
Shock jockery he had there, but I certainly enjoyed it. Hello, Bull.
Hey, Bull.
Yeah, very excited. Do you have any type of video evidence of your labors in the last 24 hours today?
Mike, it will thrill and excite you. I just can't wait for it to happen.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I'm excited about that. But first, I want to tell you that shopping is a hassle. You know, you deal with all these things, the parking, the crowds, all those pushy old broads that like walk right by you, elbow you, don't know you exist. Plus the heat. Oh, well, say goodbye to the Pentagon City Mall, Tyson's Corner Center, Fair Oaks Mall, even the Landmark Mall, Mall of America,
they're all
Coastal
gone.
Center, Gulf yes. Coast Shopping Center. Edison Mall down here in Fort Myers. Thank God times have changed and everything you need, everything, can now be purchased at MikeOMaraShow.com.
True.
This is where you end the search. For TMOS merch, we've got mugs, amazing shirts with new designs arriving all the time. Hats, plus don't miss out on the brand new season-appropriate TMOS beach towel. It's really beautiful.
It is.
And here's the thing. If you buy the beach towel, you can go down to your mailbox or pick up your newspaper if you still take one at the end of the driveway, or move your trash barrels from the driveway, the end, near the street, all the way back up to your garage without wearing a stitch of clothing.
That's
just
true.
Wearing your TMOS beach towel tied at the waist. And that goes for women, too.
Well, it's so good. Then you can see your massive nipples.
Yeah. And you'll like that, Greg. I promise you. It's hella soft and absorbent. And pickleball paddles. We've got those, too.
Yes.
Do you like the pickleball?
Sure.
Click, clack, patty whack. For all you old white guys, pickleball. So hurry and support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. Just click store. At MikeOMaraShow.com, the source for all things TMOS. It's official, it's authentic, and it's awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember our motto, you'll love it at Levitt's. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
King George.
George. Music powered Michael.
People are dropping like flies. We didn't even get this one in time for the news today.
We didn't.
Chuck Mangione, flugelhorn, probably the most well-known flugelhorn player in the world. He also played the trumpet, but he died in his sleep at the age of 84. He lived in Rochester, and that happened 2 days ago on the 22nd. I'd like to mention two songs because I like them both very much. Of course, his big hit was called Feels So Good, and it was sort
of
a big deal.
Intros.
Yeah.
That I ever played on the radio. I really love this song. It just had such a great lead up.
A feel. It has a feel to it. Yeah.
Crank it up a little bit. Power 105 WAVA. Chuck Mangione. Do you know this song, Josh?
I do recognize this song. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that instrument is.
Flugelhorn.
It's a flugelhorn.
Isn't it like a slightly smaller than a trumpet, but like mashed together, like it's a bigger, meatier looking
horn? It looks like a broken trumpet.
Yeah, yeah. He also played the trumpet, and it was a big deal back then to have jazz on Top 40 Radio. I will also always remember him as the guy they got to do the theme to the Cannonball Run movie, which is basically Feels So Good all over again. But this is the incidental score to Cannonball Run, and that was also Chuck Mangione. Very agreeable.
Very agreeable.
It didn't hit.
What
is what
a
I'm
rave
saying.
That is.
No, it is agreeable.
He wanted that in his obit. That's agreeable. That's very
Cannonball
agreeable.
Run is like a race car movie, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This music does not fit.
Well, there were other songs on the soundtrack as well, but this was known as the Cannonball Run
theme. I thought it
theme.
Was Eastbound and Down, then I'm on.
No, that's Smokey and the Bandit, Mike. Come on.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay.
Get your head out of your ass.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Kidding.
Didn't know. Don't have that knowledge, that deep knowledge of that. And they had a third one. What's the other hit he had? He had a big hat.
Stroker Ace. Smokey and the Bandit, Stroker Ace. Oh, Cannonball. That's Ray Stevens. That does the theme, the rock and roll theme, Cannonball.
Oh, really?
But the Cannonball Run theme, the instrumental, is Chuck Mangione.
But Chuck Mangione did Feel So Good in one other big chart hit.
I don't remember another big chart hit.
Give It All You Got.
What's that?
Give It All You Got.
No. Let's
move on. That's coming up as Chuck Mangione, the 1980 Olympics.
Mangione.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mangione.
This, I am sure right now he is looking down on us and saying, F you guys for that absolute mess of an obit.
I hated the fact that Mangione broke up the Beatles.
Well, he wrote the theme song to the 1980 Olympics.
That's right.
Give It All You Got.
And here's Mike to sing it for you. That's not right. All right, Mike. This has been called on social media the most American tape ever published. This is Wiffle Ball played with a Roman candle.
Oh, my God. Oh, right.
He's got a cigar in his mouth.
Big Balls Wiffle League, Roman candle, Wiffle Ball.
It might be the most New Jersey thing I've
ever
seen.
Oh, you know, I tell you, those inside pitches.
That'll
make
every
you
time.
High Sopranos, you know what I mean.
Mike, I want to bring back, just to refresh your memory, the Walt Disney audio animatronic character that debuted last week. Just
you know,
to refresh
I was stumped
mind.
One day when the little boy asked, do you draw Mickey
Walt.
Mouse? And I had to admit, I do not draw anymore.
Okay, just so you know what he looks like, this I found this as funny as anything I've seen this week. This is a guy on TikTok doing an impression of the way Walt moves.
I'm ready.
And they've dubbed
so
the actual thing, the actual speaking part to it.
Okay.
And it's great.
Okay.
You know, I was stumped one day when the little boy asked, do you draw Mickey Mouse? And I had to admit, I do not draw anymore. You think of all the jokes and ideas.
Turn it up.
It's way too quiet.
It is too quiet, but his motions are dead on to look like an audio. And I don't know how you would get the idea to do that impression.
That way, look, it's the internet. Everybody gets ideas.
I guess
they're all
you're right.
out there for everybody to see. I love that. That Walt thing makes me laugh every time I see it.
I love it. Mike, Lee County, are you near Lee County?
In the middle of it, Rob. I'm in the middle of it right now as I speak to you.
Yeah! There is another resident of Lee County who was sad. He was sad because his Planet Fitness was closed. It closed down, and he wanted it to stay open.
Okay.
So what do you do when you do that? Do you write a letter to the corporation? Or
maybe.
No, you don't do that.
Okay.
You set the locker room on fire, and then you get naked, and you hide in a tanning bed.
Come out now!
Come here, come here. Sheriff's office, come on with your hands up!
5-2-3, I got a fire in the men's locker room.
Don't worry, they'll get him out of the tanning bed soon.
Let me see your hands. Come out now!
Come here, come here.
Hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on.
And he is stone cold naked.
There we go. There we go. He's not happy.
They're going to wrap you up.
Yeah, they'll wrap you up. You can do more than that.
Cheek marks.
Gross. Left cheek marks in the tanning bed.
Ah. Yeah, my hometown. Yeah.
And let's do two more. I know you like sport. You like the constant variety of sport.
Oh, man, the Red Sox last night. Extra innings over the Philadelphia Phillies. Way to go. Narvaez, you were picked on all week long, and then you showed them, baby. Way to go.
I don't bet on baseball. I bet on snails. So let's go to a village in England that had literally a snail race.
Here Monday feels like it's moving at a snail's pace. Folks across the pond can also relate.
And they're off. Come on, make some noise for your snail.
An English village turned slow motion into a sport over the weekend, inviting snails from around the world to slug it out in the annual World Snail Race.
Oh, about a foot.
They have to make it out of that.
Superstar was Bilbo Sluggins.
Bilbo Sluggins won.
His handler didn't own him. She rented the little racer for the competition.
You know what? The British, you got to tip it to them sometimes. I mean, really.
They know how to have
fun. They know how to bring the funny. They really, really. Can you imagine, like, tuning up? Having a couple of adult beverages and rolling out and watching that and the pouring
and throwing
rain.
Throwing some money down.
Yeah. don't forget to bring the snail, though. Oh, that'll fantastic. Ruin the whole day.
That's right. Mike, you know how they were notified of the winner?
How?
By mail.
Didn't mean to hit the screen, but that's what we got. Let's close with this, Mike. 1978 doesn't seem so long ago, does it?
I was 19 years old, Rob.
Yeah, I was 7 years old. Josh, mm-hmm. probably not born yet, right? 1978, yep. Josh?
Probably.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Okay. 1980 for me.
Okay, so this is, you know, it's longer ago than I suspected that I thought it was, because here is how the announcers on CBS television in 1978 announced the fact that then the Washington Redskinettes, now known as the, I guess, the cheerleaders, they got new uniforms.
Well, here at DC Stadium, the Redskinettes have new uniforms.
I like them.
Thought you might. As we start the fourth quarter, it is 28-16 Redskins.
Nothing wrong with sex and football together, is it?
It's what's inside the uniform that makes it
what it is.
Boy, what a move the Dallas Cowgirls have done to professional football.
And they're crediting Dallas for having the other teams pick up their game with their cheerleaders.
I have a question. It was grainy video.
Yeah.
Was there a little yellow fabric right at the bottom of the butt?
Or let's take a look, shall we?
Was that butt cheek?
Let's take a look.
Out? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, well,
I'm just curious.
Oh, I got to go back to the beginning. Forgive
Don't worry
me.
About it.
No, no.
All right, let's see.
DC Stadium, the Redskinettes have
new uniforms.
Puts the pom-poms
up.
I don't think that's part of the uniform.
But you might. As we start the fourth quarter, it is 28-16 Redskins.
Nothing wrong with sex and football together.
Is it yellow?
I think
it's
the red is
what's inside the uniform that makes
it's
what
it is. Over top on the butt.
Oh, okay.
So tassels on the butt, which was also my first musical album when I played the flugelhorn. It was fantastic. Listen, tomorrow we got a great bonus show.
We do.
Rob has put together a game that is one of the best, most innovative games I think he's ever come up with. And he's going to debut it tomorrow. And, you know, we throw it up against the wall, see if it sticks. Mm-hmm. And if it sticks, it sticks.
Yeah.
Have you honed it and refined it, or are you still working on the
details?
Oh,
you bet
details?
I have. I think if we changed it at all, it would ruin it.
Okay. So you're not tweaking it at all. You're going to go with what you said to me earlier today?
Yeah, well, last week when I started working on it.
Okay, we will do that tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. We will see you then. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
I guess goodbye.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
What the flip was Grandma doing at the sand dunes?
I don't like